This is the April 14th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 710 for property ID 62174270. The property is owned by Scott Folds. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but we'll go ahead and have you raise your right hand, and we'll be swearing you in for all seven cases today.
Okay. You do swear or affirm the testimony you give in these hearings will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Okay, just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So we'll start with the one that's your property. I want to make a general comment on your packages. On the third page, there's a page that says beneficial worksheet, and you didn't fill it out. You did your own schedule. Yeah, you did your schedule that has all the properties listed. If you look at that page, that has a lot more information on it than your page has on it. For instance, it has the square footage of each of the units. It has whether it has a view. It has, you know, other items on there, like the condition and the grade of the property and all that. Those things are very helpful for us. That's why we put that sheet in there. And your sheet only includes the square footage and the year built, and that's about it.
And then it tells you, I apologize for that.
But I would urge you to fill that out in the future on your, either do that or modify your schedule so it shows all those things, so we have real comparability of information. The other thing that's not on here is that when you go to the state board, they generally require your comparables to be time adjusted to the date of the from the date of the sale to the actual assessment date. Yeah, that's taking, in the case that the assessor uses, they use what they come up with for an average for the county, which in 2020 was 11%. But at any rate, though, the state will require those to be time adjusted.
And the basis of how they time adjust it is how, and see, for a property owner, we don't know how all that shakes out. I mean, what you as a property owner have is the information you collect based on the year of sale and so on. They don't give you all that type of information. Now, if the assessor has that in advance of this meeting, and he has that information, and he provides that to the property owner, then we actually overcome everything that you're just saying. But in this case...
Yeah, he has that information, and they should provide it to you if you request it. But you can get it from a real estate group. They publish that information in a newsletter, and the real estate association will probably gladly provide that to you. And it gives it by community, by county, and all that. So the information is available in sources, and sometimes they differ from what but the assessor uses for time adjustment. But if you have a reliable source that gives you a time adjustment for that particular area that you're using, that's very acceptable.
Okay, I just didn't see where it had said that you had to, that it was part of the, call it the evidence to provide, you know, that information. I didn't realize that was part of the component. And
it is not clearly delineated anywhere, but it is okay. Something that is used.
I guess, okay.
Okay. It just makes your information very credible. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, understood. Thank you for that information.
Okay, go ahead and tell us about this property. That...
Okay. Just before I start, I've been having some challenges with my phone. I get these dropped calls, unfortunately. So I didn't hang up on you. I'll redial in if I happen to. I'm on a cell phone. So I didn't hang up on you. I'll call back in if I get disconnected. And I didn't hang up on you. Okay.
Yeah. No
All
problem.
Right. All right. So the first property here is is 2903 Van Alman Avenue. And I asked that the assessor provide in Clark County's, I guess it's their form for appeal. I've asked a couple times that, hey, I request the information the assessor used in valuing my property as a property owner. And that's what I base my decision on, whether to appeal or go to the board or so on. And the assessor has not provided that information to me as of today. And then in addition to that, I provided as part of my evidence a letter that the DOE has provided myself, and I'm assuming it was addressed to me, but I'm assuming it was also sent to the assessor. And it says very clearly in there that the Board of Equalization will schedule your hearing, and it's titled, it's got the heading for the letterhead of Clark County Board of Equalization, it says, cases established. Within that, it says, the assessor must provide their case material to all parties no later than 21 business days prior to the hearing date. And they didn't do that. And I have not received any of that, even though I requested it. I think when you, if I recall, because I've been here several times, that I've asked that the assessor provide that information. That's the thing that allows the property owner to determine whether they should be appealing it because they don't believe the true and fair value has been assessed. And so I just added that, and you'll see that in every one of the properties today that we'll be talking about. I have not been provided any information other than just a value, the initial value that the assessor has determined of true and fair value. Okay.
Okay. Let me just clarify something. I agree with you 100%. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just telling you what position that the assessor has taken in the GIS system. Can you bring up the first page of the property information, Michelle?
Yeah, I don't know GIS, if it'll be able to see it, but yeah, I'll pull it up.
In the GIS system, there is a box on the top of the sheet.
Scott, are you able to see this? I know you're on a cell phone, so I don't
know.
No,
I'm not, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
No. But you can describe it.
But on the top of that, the first sheet of your property information system, over to the, on one of the headings, it says sales cert.
Okay.
On one of the top lines. If you click on that, it pulls up your property, and then it asks you some questions about your property, and then you click on that, and it gives you, quote, comparable properties to your property. The assessor has taken the position that those are the properties that are used in his mass appraisal system to develop the method in which he values your property for assessment purposes. And his contention is that he has provided that information for you in that sales search portion of the GIS system for Clark County. I don't agree with it. I'm not sure a lot of people would agree with it, but I'm just telling you that's his position, that he's provided that information to everybody. And unless he has an opportunity to look at and decides whether he wants to do further action on your particular property, in other words, if he believes that there's a good case that he can support that, he may or may not have his staff provide a more concise analysis of your property and some comparables to prove that his mass appraisal system is correct. So that's his position on it. So I can't do much about it. We've argued that is not sufficient for the taxpayer to understand, but that's where we are.
I appreciate your what you're saying, but I completely disagree with it because, and it probably isn't relevant, it isn't going to change anything, but what I will say is I have taken this to the state appeals beyond the BOE, okay? And so I do understand, and when I start questioning the assessor, and unfortunately the assessor doesn't want to show up in the initial meeting, and all they do is send you a bill. And so, yeah, it puts the onus on the taxpayer to go find comparables. But what I'll tell you about his site, and I got it straight from the assessor, and so I started questioning the assessor. And what the assessor will, he doesn't go to, or he or she, whoever the assessor is, doesn't take within your public community or your subdivision or something that's truly comparable. His model has a global deal. In fact, it could be comparing a house in Camas, Washington, on the other side of town, 10 miles or 15 miles away, which is not representative of a taxpayer's deal. Okay, so that's what I told the assessor. And I never knew that until he explained to me how he does his model. And so his model and these inquiries that you showed where, hey, this is where you can go. Well, it doesn't represent the property in question as a whole. And that's why I'm here today, is because it doesn't represent, doesn't take into account if you have any, call it cost of care type of items, repair items, has it been upgraded, renovated, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't account for any of that type of information. So that's why I'm here today. But I really have an issue with the BOE's, not you guys, don't take it that way, with the letter that they send the taxpayer that says, and it's very, it's just a matter of fact, taxpayer, you miss one deadline, you don't tick one box, you know, you may not even be listened to. And it's very clear in this letter. It doesn't say the assessor can consider or he may provide the information or any of that. It says he must provide the information. And it doesn't say here's where you go as the taxpayer to go get all the information that he is basing that. That's why there's a box on the form that says, hey, if you want to understand how he's assessing said property, here, request it, and he has X amount a day. So I just wanted to say that up front. I don't know how this system gets changed. I don't know, and I can't change it. But what I can do is clearly articulate that this isn't right the way this is. It's all the burden is, it's almost as if, taxpayer, you're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. And that's kind of the way that it appears to me the system is. So I've played within the bounds of the system, but I don't understand why they don't change this. And it isn't right. I heard what you said, and you guys don't make the rules. But I don't think, I mean, what stops the assessor from just saying, all houses are $1 million? Now, taxpayer, go out there and prove that it's not worth $1 million. And if you miss one date, one notice, one evidence, whatever, you're out. I mean, it's just that. So anyways, I said what I needed to say. You're going to see this on all my property, okay, that I provided you essentially the DOE's letterhead back in here just saying, hey, the assessor. So maybe something in the future will happen and that can get corrected, but it's not right to do that to a property owner. Because you know what, we wouldn't waste a bunch of time to BOE hearings and so on if we had the information that the assessor is actually valuing your house. I mean, you just referred to a site that said, hey, you go to this site, but then you have to put in all these parameters in there and it'll generate something. So in other words, what that tells me is there isn't already something generated and says, this is how I base your value, property owner. It is property, you have to go try to generate it. And that's just not right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's bad.
I don't disagree with you. I'm in agreement with you. The problem is the way the law is written, as I told you in my introduction, that the assessor has the presumption of correctness. And that does, in essence, put the burden of proof on you, the taxpayer. And it basically says, and I'm quoting this as a de facto type thing, is that you are guilty of that value until you prove otherwise. So it's reverse of you're innocent until proven guilty. And I'm telling you, that's the way it works. The sentence in our letter that goes to you probably could clarify that. And it really means that if the assessor is going to send any information that is going to refute your request for a value, he must present it 21 days prior to. And so Michelle is the one that writes those sentences, and we can clarify that a bit to say that, in essence, instead of it doesn't really mean that he's supposed to provide you that information. It just means if he's going to provide anything, just like you, it has to be in 21 days prior to the hearing. So I'm sorry for that misunderstanding, but that's what that really means.
I don't. I'm not going to. I won't beat a dead horse here. Okay. I just wanted to say that up front because your own form, not even talking about the letter, it doesn't say. Then why even have in there that I can request the information? So I request the information the assessor used in valuing my property. Yes or no? And that's, I'm just following the rules. And I don't think, so anyway, so I'll move on, sir. I appreciate, I hear you. I disagree with the state or the Clark County, the way they do this, but I have to play within the rules. Okay, so I hear you.
Talk to your legislator because we agree. We agree with everything you're saying, but they're the ones that have written that, and I think they need to hear from taxpayers.
Right on. No, it's just frustrating because these are time consuming for everybody, and it's just, you know.
Well,
let's move on. Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. But I have been here before for the same property, and the BOE have ruled in the past, which you'll see. I attached that information in the past. This is a house that is it's still in the low income area, it's the depressed area. And my house has not been remodeled. I haven't updated it since the ruling of last year. And it's not worth the assessed state value. The assessor's value disregards what, I don't even know if the assessor looks at the previous BOE's ruling of the said property, okay? But it disregards it, doesn't even take it into account. That's what it appears to me. And so I provided in attachment A, which you referred to earlier, which was the comparables that I came up with. And these are 2020 through 2021, which you can see the sales date. These are all properties within my community. They're not outside the community. They're within, it's not really a subdivision, but you come in one way and all the houses are right there. So maybe you do call it a subdivision. But you can see a range of houses, various sizes. And I highlighted these two, and hopefully when you guys got the printed copy, it showed as yellow in there. And it was, the property is 3108 Yeoman Avenue, which is just a stone's throw away from where I'm at. Okay, it's not very far, it's in the same community. And what the reason I highlighted that is you see that the property sold on 5/13 of 2020. Okay, it resold 5 months later. Okay, and what's happening is that's the condition of my property right there. Okay, I don't upgrade it. And what's happening is that person upgraded that, it got sold, and then it got renovated. And then it got pre-sold. And that's what's happening right there. But my property is more reflected in the first one. And so I think you got, everybody knows that, hey, when you're trying to sell your property, a realtor will tell you, hey, these are the things that you need to do in order to get the value, the top dollar that you want for it. And so that's what's happening in here. I don't have any evidence from the assessor, but here's a various, you can see the range. I took an average of it. I didn't take the high. I didn't take the low. You can see when I apply it to my square footage, the 108 square foot for that house, it averaged, and at the average rate of 201, it gets you to about 202,600. Which is greater than what the board had ruled in it before. It is not the increase that the assessor has called it, assessed it at. And like I said, I have not done anything to it since the previous board ruling. So I guess my point being is the comparables, and even in, and if you look at that, when I compared it, I even threw the higher dollar value in there. That's part of the 201.01 average. I didn't throw out the one that had been remodeled and completely upgraded so they can go sell it for, you know, that type of a unit deal. And so I think my price is much fairer than what as far as true and fair market value, based on what you're seeing here with a variety of ranch units, same year, different square footage, broad range of footages there that you can see. So I think mine's much more fair and transparent, I guess. I recommend the board use this valuation in lieu of what the assessor has provided, which is nothing as of today. And so you can see that I gave a wide variety, and I could have given more comparables. But I thought the one that's what's happening throughout the market is there are lots of units that get upgraded, and then they get, so they can sell them at a higher rate. And the assessor does not account for that at all. His model doesn't account for it. So this, I think this is fair for the condition that my property is at today. And I didn't use the low. I didn't lose a high. I think it's fair. And it is higher than what it was last year.
Okay. I think we got it.
Okay. I got it. I don't have any questions.
No questions.
Okay. And so you guys did get that package, the previous year's board's ruling, correct, for that property? Okay.
Yep. We got
all
it.
Right. All right.
All right. Okay.
You want to go? Okay. Go ahead.
Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 14th hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us is a late filing. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, and we do not have an appellant present. The filing is for Andrew Sherman. It's property 10023 Northeast 86th Court, Vancouver, Washington, parcel 252031000. And it is a good cause request. It's I received my order of the Clark County Board of Equalization on April 21st, 2021. I never received a notice of value on June 3rd, 2021. I only received my property tax statement last month in March of 2022.
Well, doesn't that meet the requirement?
I believe so, yeah. If he's saying that he did not receive his notice.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay, and then I'll go ahead and have you close the hearing. And that's it.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 14th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 711 for property ID 213-808-100. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant. He's already been sworn in for the day.
Hey, go ahead and tell us about this property.
Okay, let me just make sure it's the right. Is it the one at 3424?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This is a property that the BOE, again, last year ruled in my favor last year. My property since that time has still not been, I haven't done anything to it. Hasn't been upgraded. It's just not worth what the assessor has raised it to. And so again, I provided comparables to it. All the comparables are within my subdivision. They're not outside the subdivision. So when we get to the comparables. So I provided five comparables, varying square footages, all the same year, all the same stories. You can see the sales date there. You can see the sales price. And you see I didn't take the low. I didn't take the high. I took the average. And it's an average over the course of the year, all the way through 2021, you can see. And so the square foot price varied, but the average, I think these square foot prices have, these are units that people are selling, and they are upgrading them. They're doing whatever they needed to do to get the top dollar. So, as again, what I referred to before, I have not done anything to this property before. So, when you take the weighted average for the various types of, you know, similar properties, you come up with a valuation of 38,382,343. I believe, I don't have it off the top of my head, I think last year the board agreed in the comparables of 340,000 valuation. Well, even though I'm taking comparables with units that are being modified prior or call it remodeled or whatever you want, renovated prior to sale, I'm using that comparable to a property that has not been. I haven't taken any deduction. I'm still $40,000 above what the previous BOE ruling was, over 40 grand. So I did account for increase in property. Okay, I did it. So I think these are fair. I don't think the assessor hasn't provided anything for even the BOE to rule on. I don't even know how you make a ruling when the assessor hasn't provided even the board, unless you guys have been provided something. And I didn't ask that question. Has the board got comparables that they provide, that the assessor provided them?
No.
Okay. So, I provided five of them.
If they provided us anything that they haven't provided you within their time frame, we do not use it.
Okay, I got you. Okay, so anyways, here's what you guys can use for evaluation. I think I was very fair, not like there wasn't properties out there being sold. And I understand there are properties, but I haven't done anything to my property. I'm not planning on selling the doggone thing, so... I think this is representative in the condition. I didn't take high, didn't take low. So that's my, I just want the board to consider my comparables that I provided for your evaluation, and I hope that you rule in my favor.
Okay.
Thank you.
That explains it.
Any
questions?
All right. Let's close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 14th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 712 for property ID 302-40260. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant, and he's already been sworn into the day.
Hey, go ahead and tell us about this property.
Okay, so same thing. This property, I have not done anything to it since last year. No upgrades, nothing. It's a low income. Depressed, as you guys see. Yeah, I'm just saying the condo is not worth what the assessor has assessed it. And you can see that the previous year, the board ruled on this one in Sugar Creek's favor based on the comparables provided last year. There is a typo there, I see. It says, you know, under the other issues, says 165,500. The ruling was 160,500, so I apologize for the typo there. But anyways, you go to the attachments, the comparables for Gibbons. All these comparables that I provided the board to evaluate are in the same, it's part of the whole, call it quadplex right there. You can see four of them that sold are right there on Gibbons. And so I grabbed the four that are on the same street that this property is on. You can see the dates that the properties sold on. So mid-2020 all the way up through, you know, September. Just to kind of give you a flavor for where things are selling and what they're selling at. Again, I didn't, you can see the square footages You can see I didn't take the low. I didn't take the high. I took the average of all those set properties. And so, once again, I did not do anything to that property from the previous board ruling. I think this is fair. You can see it's not just one comparable, several comparables that are on the same street, same type of, same area, and so on. And so, I think my comparables that I've provided the board are representative of the property value. You can see how I calculated it to get to it. It is an increase from what the board ruled in the past. So that's another thing that I think is very fair. I did say that it went up in value, which I believe it's gone up in value, even though I did not do anything to it. So I am accounting for that. And the assessor has no information on how they're accounting for it at all. So I request that the board use my comparables as a fair and true value of the assessed value of my property.
Okay.
All right, I have no questions.
Yeah, me neither.
Got it. Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 14th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 713 for property ID 158-449-178. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant, and he's already been sworn in for the day.
Hey, go ahead and tell us about this property.
Okay, so from last year, same property I protested before. I have not done any upgrades to this property since the last discussion I had with the board. The assessor is, and there's not a huge difference in what I'm saying the value is, but my comparables are, which you'll see here shortly, I think represents the fair and true value of this property. So, again, I haven't done any upgrades or anything like that to it. The comparables, I provided four comparables. All these comparables, and this is a condominium at One Lake Place, and there are a substantial amount of condos there. Okay, so all these comparables are within that same complex or community. They're not outside, as you can see by the addresses and so on. So they range from...
Did you appeal this one last year, this particular northeast?
No, I think I did appeal this last year. Yes, I'm pretty sure I appealed it.
Because you just didn't have the letter in there showing the previous year's decision, and that's why I wondered.
Sorry about interrupting you.
Anyway.
Where did you say this one was? You said Lake Avenue. This one's on 121st.
It's One Lake Place Condominiums. I think that's what it's called. So it's got multiple different units and so on throughout the whole. But my whole point was, this is where this unit is located. They're all the same. It's not outside in the Camas or outside. It's all the same community. Okay. That was what I was trying to. I didn't know. Well, okay. So, you can see that here you've got a range of sale dates for various properties. Like I said, I have not done anything to this unit. And so they're from June of 2020 all the way up to the end of March. And so you can see the various, there's different square footage along the year. Some went up, some went down. And I think it all had to do with how much person wanted to fix the insides of their house and what they did to their house. But I didn't do anything. So, again, I did not take the low. I did not take the high. I took the average of the units over a course of sale. So you can see how I applied it. I took my square footage. I came up with 186. That's higher than what was assessed the previous year. And so, once again, I would say since the I haven't seen anything from the assessor, there's nothing to compare to. I have comparables. I think these are more representative. I think it's probably more than fair because I think these have probably been, something has been upgraded in them and mine hasn't, but that's the information I have today. And so I think mine are more comparable to and representative of my property, unlike what the assessor has with that. So for the board again, use mine as the comparable for valuing my said property.
Okay, I have no more questions.
Hey, close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 14th, 2022 hearings at the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 714 for property ID 158449044. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant, and he's already been sworn in for the day.
Hey, tell us about this property.
Is this H49? I apologize. I'm trying to...
Yes, it is. This is the one on the 121st Avenue, H49.
Okay, so this is in the same complex as what we... What I just spoke about, this is One Lake Place. And again, I have not done any upgrades to this property since last year. And you'll see that I provided comparables again for to compare against my property. The assessor has not provided anything, so I'm saying that the condo isn't worth what the stated value the assessor has. You go to the comparables. Again. And I provided three comparables here. You can see the range in, but they're all two-story, just like this unit. This is a two-story type of I almost call it like a townhouse. It's like a townhouse. Okay, so you can see they're all the same year built. You can see the square footages. You can see the sales date. So it's kind of a rangy sales date from mid-20s to 2020 to beginning of 2021. You can see beginning of 2021, that one sold for $200 a square foot. I'm asking that the board, I didn't go to the 200, I used the weighted average, a high and a low. I'm at 203. That's how I came up with the average square footage. And I assessed that at, using that at 177,878, which is higher again from the previous year. But I haven't done anything to it. I'm comparing against units that have been upgraded. So I believe my number is more representative than what the assessor has provided once again. And the assessor hasn't provided anything for neither myself nor the board to evaluate. So I think this is very fair. And that I request that the board use this valuation and these comparables as a true and fair value for assessing my property.
Okay. I have no questions.
I don't have any other questions.
No, nor do I.
Okay. Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 14th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 715 for property ID 10797916. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant, and he's already been sworn in for the day.
Okay, go ahead and tell us about this unit.
Okay, this is, should be unit A4.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This property, again, I have done no upgrades, nothing like that. I'm saying the condition of the property is not worth the same as what the valuation of what the assessor is assessing it. My delta is not very far from what the assessor is, as you guys will probably, you can see that. Not a huge disparity between the two. I have provided comparables for the board's consideration. You can see I provided four comparables here. These are all, once again, they're all the same subdivision or same complex. They're all just, it's a big complex area. So all same, call it complex. I didn't go outside and use an unlike type of property, as you can see from the address. They're just different units. So you can see they sold in mid-2020, and it goes right up until November of 2020. And so you can see they're all split level. That's what mine is. You can see the year built, and then you can see the varying dollars per square foot. Again, I wanted to point to the board. You can see the two highlighted yellow numbers there, or highlight our units, and that was unit C19. There's a prime example again. Someone came in and bought the thing on 5/26 of 2020, and 3 months later, they sell it for $144. So they go in there and they're flipping houses by going in and renovating it. I haven't done any of that. And then all of a sudden you get up to, they sell it. Okay? Mine hasn't been that. So when you even, you go look at the average square foot, I am a little lower than if you went out and sold something, after you had, call it upgraded it or renovated it or fixed it up, however you want to say it. I am a little lower than that. I'm at $137.36 a square foot. And that applies to my the unit. You can see the square footages. So, I mean, they're within a few square feet of each other, right? They're all the same. And so I didn't take the high. I didn't take the low. I put what I think is probably fair and closer to the condition, and based on the comparables. But as you can see, then I guess that's the only way I can show the board is, and I'm sure you guys already know that, but my obligation to show you that that's what's happening is properties that are being valued out there are being upgraded, and I can tell you I haven't done anything to mine. And if I was to sell it, I would need to do repairs to it inside to get the money. So I request that the board, again, since the assessor has provided no basis of how they valued this property, I request the board use these comparables and the analysis that I provided the board in the same community and same subdivision or whatever you want to call it, these are representative. So I request that you use these and rule in my favor. Thank you.
Okay.
I have no more questions.
No, nor do I.
Got it.
All right, are you good, Dan?
Good. Yep, close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 14th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 716 for property ID 10878014. The property is owned by Sugar Creek Properties, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Folds present over the phone for the appellant, and he's already been sworn in for the day.
Hey, tell us about this property.
Okay. So this is a property, I think it's a sixplex. There's six of them that have six units on within each, you know, a sixplex, of course. So this unit requires additional repairs, or call it cost of care. I provided information there that we'll go over here shortly on the repairs. It belongs to, it's administered by an HOA association, and this has exterior repairs. This doesn't even include the anything I need to do, call it walls in, to my own unit. This only includes the exterior, call it envelope of the building. And the HOA is going to, the HOA association is the ones that went out and got a loan for all the various repairs that are going to happen on all 36 units. So me, as one of the owners of one of the units, whatever the cost of the repairs, I have to pay my share of the repair that the HOA is going to assess each owner. And so they assessed it equally amongst all of us. And so what's happened is over, I'd say a couple of years in that range, somewhere in a couple of the couple of years, that consultants go out, they evaluated the extent of the damage, they recommended the repairs that would need, and they included fixing around the windows, the roof, the decks, the front and the back decks. There were those types of issues with all the different units. So they went out and got quotes, and I've brought this in the past to the board. The board did rule in my favor last year, and I do understand the assessor is not going to know about these future repairs and so on, but they're not reflective. His value is not reflective of these future repairs. And so what I'll tell you is, when I submitted this to the board prior to the 21 days of evidence, right, for this hearing, the contractor had finished the, call it the repairs. So within here, and I'm going to go ahead and scroll down to the comparable, let's go to the comparables first, which I provided, five comparables. So you can see the various sale dates on this, on the unit. These are all comparables as far as the six plexes, or within the whole HOA community. There's all these are of the same as the property that I'm appealing. And so the average cost, you can see again, I didn't take the low. There's one that sold at the, here on January 21st, it sold for $137 a square foot. I didn't use that. What I did do, though, is when you go to the HOA meetings, what's happening is houses were, these units, people were not, they're selling the units, and they were not disclosing that, hey, heads up, there's going to be a future assessment that the HOA is going to assess the owner. And I've been in meetings where an owner says, I didn't know these repairs were forthcoming. So that's what's happened here, and I put these comparables here. You can see how I the comparables I provided, and then I put a note in there. And this is how I determine the valuation of the property. Again, I have not done anything in my unit, call it walls in. I haven't done anything to it. I haven't upgraded it, nothing like that. You can see that what I said at the time, and there's a little package in the back that is essentially from the HOA to all the owners saying, hey, heads up, here's what the budget was for the contractor to come out and do all these repairs. And it was like $1,720,000. And since I have, I've provided this information to the board, well, since then, I have gotten a bill for the actual repair cost that each owner is obligated, including myself. And the actual bill that I have to pay for, it ended up being, instead of the $47,800 that each owner, based on the loan amount that they took out, the $1,720,000, it came in a little less than that. So the bill is that I have to pay, that I just got the invoice for, is $46,513 or $512.77. So you can see what I did. I took the comparable. I deducted off the cost of care that no one knew exactly what the cost was going to be. And I got to the $190,000. Using comparable. So what the board had ruled in the past, and you can see in the package I provided and from Cottage Home Estates, I think I sent something like that last year with the board so they could see it. We didn't have this same information. We didn't know what the dollars were going to be. We just found out in July of 2021 what the bill was really going to be.
You said $190,000, but your petition says $177,400.
Yeah, but the sheet says it is comparable, say a different number.
Okay.
Oh, did I? I have the total cost here is $190,428.
Okay. Down at the bottom of his comparables page.
I see it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully they're reflective of both. Okay. So, anyways, I did bump it up because I think the value of the houses have gone up, but no one knew what the repairs is. I mean, you can see none of us knew what the cost was going to be of the repairs at the end of the day. So, but these properties were being sold without knowing what the heck the cost was or even disclosing and that. So, bottom line, you can see my calculation. You can see from the HOA their information, the $1,720,000. They're out there. And so since then, here's the layout of the six units or six flexes, six of them that all of us have to are part of. And then you can see the DOE's ruling from last year at the same unit. We got that data. It was 177, but I'm asking, and which I think is very fair this year. I'm not asking that the board use my, call it number. What did I have? I said it was going to be $47,800. I would be okay if the board used the real number that, I'm being assessed, which was the $46,513. And so taking my comparables less that amount, that would equal like $191,815. So not $190,428, bump it up. I think that's very fair. It addresses something that the assessor would not have known. They don't know that kind of stuff. I understand that. But I think this is evidence that shows, hey, it happened in the past, it hadn't been repaired, and the dollars are I mean, this was real life. This is what happened. So, again, I did not upgrade this thing at all inside walls. These, I don't know what the other folks did. And I think this is fair. I don't think the assessor hasn't provided anything. And so once again, I request that the board use these comparables and this analysis to value the property.
Got it.
Okay, I have it.
Yep, me too.
I'm good.
Okay. It looks like we've done them all.
Okay, I'm good to close it. Again, I'm good to close it.
Close that here. Okay.